Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, March 21st, 2022. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. As usual, the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMATA.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone call. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise hand or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone joining via video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. If you go under reactions, there is a hand raise button. You can click on that to raise or lower your virtual hands. That lets us know that somebody is intending to speak and we can have one speaker at a time. We also have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request everyone to state your name first before speaking. This helps them doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call knowing who the speaker is at that moment. Anybody who would like to make public comments, please let me know. You can raise hands at the time when we begin public comments. You can send me a chat message if that's easier so that we can put you on the list and the public comments will be taken in the order we receive them. At this point, Chair Semaphore, I can read the agenda out loud for the convenience of everyone joining this meeting.
Sure, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. After we go through reading the agenda, we will go. We will take the roll call of the AAC members. At 4:05, we have review of agenda for today's meeting and last month's meeting minutes approval. At 4:10, we will have the customer service and outreach reports. 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Awards. Just to put it on the record, the Rush Awards have been put on hold until the time we go back for in-person meetings. At 4:25, we have the topic abilities right update and questions and answers section. That will be the topic discussed by Mr. Blake and Chair Semaphore. At 4:40, Metro Access Shared Ride Update will be provided by Mr. Blake. At 4:55 p.m., the topic is Call Center Procedures Q&A by Mr. Blake and Mr. Semaphore. At 5:05, we have the topic of Metro Access GPS Procurement Update by Ms. Tarian Williams-Hall. At 5:20, we will have trip booking, minimum duration of stay by Allison Anderson. At 5:30, we will have public comment section and the meeting will adjourn at 6 p.m. That concludes the agenda topics for today's meeting. And at this point, Chair Semaphore, I can go ahead and take the roll call of our AAC members for today's meeting.
Yes, please go ahead.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Melanie Henderson. Steve Kaplan. Thomas Mangrum, Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Anthony Oberg has informed us that he is unable to attend meetings at the time due to health reasons. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. And Kelly Simonon. All right, that concludes the roll call for today's meeting. At this point, I would ask Chair Semaphore to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you so much. So the first thing we're going to do is review the agenda and minutes from the prior meeting. The only addition to this meeting is there is going to be a little talk about call center procedures. And I'll do that with Mr. Blake and or his staff to respond on one specific issue. And that's the only major addition. The other addition is... during public comment period, if Mr. Torres is able to come due to technical difficulties at the AAC meeting, I will grant him the 10 minutes to speak about his plan that relates to Metro Access. Beyond that, can I get a motion to amend the agenda? All right, hearing the crickets, I think we can move this. All those please do so saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions. Aye. The motion's carried to move the agenda as amended. The next are the minutes from the prior meeting. Are there any additions, changes, additions to it that need to be made? Hearing the crickets, I would like to move with no dissent, or if there's any dissent, the minutes as is from last month. Can I get a motion? All ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Nays, abstentions. Okay, that's carried. Next will be customer service and outreach reports. Ms. Anderson and her team.
Thank you, Chair Semaphore. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm with the Office of Metro Access Service. At this time, I'd like to present Mr. Dolan Chittums with MTM, who will give us the readout on our last session's public comments. Mr. Chittums. Oh, I think you're on. There you go.
How you doing? So. Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums. I'm the operation manager for MTM. For the month of February, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. I would now like to present the accommodations for the month of February. First Transit had 34, Transdev had 53, MVOCC had 51, Challenger had 11, Diamond had 53, MTM had 1, and Abilities Ride had 3. There were a total of 206 accommodations for the month of February. And this concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. Next would be outreach reports, Ms. Anderson.
Okay. As of this meeting, we still are not conducting any formal in-person outreach. However, we are receiving any outreach information from Office of ADA Policy and Planning or through Mr. Blake's office, customers calling as required and following up with those reports, customer reports.
Thank you so much. Is there, well, moving to the next agenda piece, any Michael Wilson or other award recipients for you to present today with you and your
Absolutely.
Staff?
Absolutely. So I'd like to present Mr. Robbie Worth with Diamond Transportation, and he's going to present the Michael Wilson Recognition Award along with the AAC Safety Award this afternoon. Robbie?
Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, my name's Robbie Worth, and I'm the project manager for Metro Access for National Express, formerly known as Diamond Transportation. And we have two Wiley veterans that we're presenting for the awards. today. First for the Michael Wilson Award, I'd like to present Blanca Osorio. Blanca began her employment with National Express Transit, formerly Diamond Transportation, on November 10th, 2014. Over the last year, she has completed 1,703 trips with an average on-time performance rate of 97.9%, so 98%. Blanca strives to deliver professional excellence in every aspect of the service she provides to our customers. She has shown her willingness to help others whenever the need arises. She always demonstrates a positive attitude along with a high level of professionalism. She is the ideal cadet trainer. She shows patience and understanding with new operators who are preparing to enter revenue service. She puts safety and customer service at the forefront of everything she does and trains new operators to do the same. Ms. Osorio is originally from El Salvador. She moved to the United States 33 years ago. Blanca loves driving for MetroAxis because it allows her to meet and serve people from the ADA community. When she is not working, Bianca loves spending time with her family, especially her first grandchild. She also enjoys playing softball, good food, music, singing, dancing, and going to the beach. Ms. Osorio displays extensive knowledge and enjoyment for her career here at National Express Transit. She takes great pride in the job, displays loyalty and honesty, perseverance, and achieves goals. National Express Transit is honored to have such a compassionate, caring, dedicated employee as Blanca Osorio. Is Blanca on the line or on the Zoom?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi, Blanca. You want to say something, Blanca?
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. Yes, I'm constable with a company. I work dedicated to the pick up the persons, you know, the customers. So I constable to help her, you know, that's why I stay longer with the company.
Well, Blanca, you have certainly been a credit to not only Diamond Transportation and now National Express, but the entire MetroAxis service. And we really appreciate everything that you've done. It's always great to see you. You have such a warm aura about you, and you display a positive experience for anybody you come in contact with. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate all that you do.
Okay, so now for the new MetroAxis Safety Award, I present a person that is probably you're going to recognize his name, because I think this is the third time that he's been in front of the committee for various awards. It's Lonnie Rash. And Lonnie has been with Diamond and then National Express since January 12th of 2009. Lonnie, are you on the line?
I see him.
Okay, great. Over the last year, he has completed 1,658 trips with an average on-time performance rate of 97.1%. Lonnie performs a variety of duties, handles many situations with ease, and is comfortable with change. Mr. Rash has trained countless new hires. He is the ideal behind-the-wheel trainer. He shows patience and understanding with new and existing employees. He always maintains a professional attitude, puts safety and his passengers' well-being first. He is a longtime employee who has experience dealing with many different types of situations. Lonnie offers safety advice to others and seeks clarification if there is something he doesn't understand. Mr. Rash is a stickler on policies and procedures. He has no problem bringing areas of concern to management, especially if he feels that the company's performance to standards could be affected. During his tenure, Mr. Rash has had no max reportable incidents. That is absolutely incredible. And over 50 commendations and is rarely observed on DriveCam. Mr. Rash has been given numerous opportunities to advance within the company. However, he says he would miss operating his daily route, being out in the community and training new hires. Mr. Rash enjoys his career here at National Express Transit immensely. He takes great pride in the job, displays loyalty and honesty, and consistently overachieves safety goals. Previously, Mr. Rash has received the WMATA Awards in the past, including the Michael Wilson Award in 2017. And in 2015, WMATA gave out awards for perfect attendance, incident-free, OTP, and 6 years of consistent dedicated service. I also would like to point out that Mr. Rash won the rodeo. I think it was the first rodeo we ever had. And I think he retired from the rodeo to keep his record unblemished. But we know that he could win it again if he entered. So I just want to put that out there, Lonnie. National Transportation is honored to have such a compassionate, caring, dedicated, and safe employee as Lonnie Rash. Lonnie, would you like to say something?
Yes. I want to thank everybody for the award. I really appreciate doing this job. I love driving it. I love getting up every morning because I know the customers are so appreciative of what we do. And at the end of the day, I'm tired, but I feel really good because I know the customers just appreciate what we do. And I love this.
Well, Lonnie, you have certainly been the model of consistency and safety and compassion in everything that you do in terms of the service that you provide. I think you could actually go as probably a national award. You've done such a tremendous job, and we really appreciate everything you've done. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you. As a personal note, I've ridden with him before, and I've known the exemplary work that he's done in training drivers behind the wheel, and it is just spectacular to see the care and dedication he does in training drivers. Next, we're going to go through the rest of this agenda. Mr. Blake, you're up next with Abilities Ride update. Then I have a question or two, so you can go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake, Department of Access Services. There really isn't a whole lot to update, to be honest with you. The one big change, if you want to say it's a big change, but most customers didn't notice it unless you were beginning your trip in Washington, D.C. and going to the Washington Hospital Center, because that's the trips they were primarily doing. One of the companies called VIA, they were the other app-based company involved that used private vehicles for the service. Is no longer part of Abilities Ride because the company has moved away from the vehicle dispatch and providing actual trip business to focusing on software only. So they're going to be producing software for other companies to use in terms of dispatching vehicles around the country. So there won't be any more trips being sent to VIA. But again, they were doing a very relatively small number of trips, and all of their trips either began or ended at the Washington Hospital Center and were within DC, generally speaking. So other than that, I could answer any questions you may have, but other than that, we're still utilizing the other providers. Those are Regency in Montgomery County, Silver Cab in Prince George's County, Action Taxi in Montgomery County, Old Dominion in Virginia, Yellow Cab in DC, Curb in DC, and Uber in various parts of the jurisdiction.
Thank you for the update. So my question tailspins to when I had a conversation with you last month with Abilities Ride and used it for lake trips. And I wanted to just piggyback quickly on it only because, you know, in terms of reducing the number of lake trips, leveraging, you know, the other resources. So with me on February 25th, you know, I had a trip and we spoke about this and this happened like right after a couple of weeks after the meeting, a week after the meeting or so. But, you know, I was got the automated call, came to the curb. The driver tells me, oh, your trip has been moved. And then I hear the dispatcher on the radio's conversation to tell the customer, is he able to ride Uber? He needs to call. And I'm like thinking in my head, if you knew that you made this change, why did you not call me and initiate and take the initiative to do it? So I called, I spoke to an agent. Agent said, yeah, and they pushed me to a supervisor. Supervisor, shockingly, usually they're able to, you know, take care of the issue, was not able to accommodate me and sent me on to another person. So I went to three different people that knew about it, but no one was taking action on this. I'm trying to understand based on basically what you said, Mr. Blake, that they're trying to improve to, you know, take care of issues like this. How I had to go through that until I had to, and that's when I called you. No customer shouldn't have to go through that.
Right, and most customers don't have my phone number, so you're right. So that's not the ideal solution. I mean, I was happy to help, obviously, but that's obviously not the ideal solution because even if everybody, and my number is public, so technically everybody could call me, but I'm not always available at the moment something like this happens. So you're right. That's not the solution, and that shouldn't have been your solution that night. I do have on here.
And I went through the chain of command like you told me. Right. You know, dispatcher knew, should have done something to reach out to me, obviously, if you knew this was occurring for whatever reason, and it's the end of my window. And then I went through a supervisor who pushed me on to call, you know, to pick up to talk to somebody else to deal with it.
Well, I'm with you. But online we do have, because I can talk, but again, it shouldn't always be all about me. Yeah, we've got to spread the wealth, if you will, because I'm not always going to be here and I'm not always going to be available for the customers, even when I am here. So we do have the head of the OCC online who, at my request and at your, you know, your advocacy, did an extensive review of what happened that night. I'm sure she doesn't have any excuse for what happened, but can certainly talk about what was found and what they've done about it to try to help you and other customers avoid the experience you're reporting tonight. So Ms. Ridgway, are you online? Or Mr. Lasky, her assistant?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Blake. Yes, okay. I'm here. And also our senior dispatch manager, Adam Lasky, is on the line as well. So again, Mr. Semelfort, I do appreciate you bringing these concerns to us. As you and I spoke about, you know, that experience is not what we expect from our team members here in MV working in the OCC. Whether there's, you know, a scheduled outage or not, that is not the process. And as I had mentioned to you, one of the things that we were going to do is retrain our supervisors on our practices. And that did happen with regards to making sure that, you know, if there are planned outages, that they are to be, of course, making sure not only that they're, you know, checking the phones and things of that nature, but being responsive to customers and then connecting with operators so that we can get a real-time ETA expectations to communicate that to our customers as well. So again, we absolutely apologize. We fall on the sword for that experience that you had. That is not the norm. And it will not be going forward. Like I said, we did go ahead and retrain all of our supervisors on best practices with regards to that. Adam, is there anything else that you wanted to add with regards to this issue, since it, you know, it is your team?
And then I have, why I have you on here, that was the further one up down the line, but still connects mm-hmm. to using Village Ride. But my question on that night, when the damage happened, I was told that the call back in 30 minutes and some, and the manager did, or supervisor called me back an hour and 15 minutes after my window. And by then I found my way home. I'm concerned about other customers who've been felt, and when you tell them that, you induced missed trips, which is in my case, they may get them, or how many were stranded, were they reached out to after this whole downage, the ones who had late trips. So what was happening? And then the other issue is, this rarely happens, but it's happened before, unfortunately. And what do we really do to get a hold on this? So especially at night, someone should not be worried, we have nothing to know about your ride, and call us back in 30 minutes. Or in this case, my response, you did call back, but it was an hour and 15 minutes after, well past in the middle of the night, so.
And in speaking with you, I haven't heard of any other issues with any customers that night. Again, if you are aware of any other customers that had a similar experience, I'd be more than happy to, as I had with your circumstance, have it thoroughly investigated and addressed. As I had mentioned, we have gone forward. We identified the gap in our service. We have addressed it through retraining and also through just reinforcing the procedures that must be followed with our supervisors. Again, if we say we're going to do something, if we say we're going to, call you back or whatever the case may be, it's an expectation that we'll do that. But never should a customer have to be have it on their ownership to call back in a situation like that. We are to address their concerns, whether there is an outage or an incident occurring at that time, because safety is very important. So I know that we discussed this before, you and I personally, Mr. Semaphore. I know that you have some concerns, but all I can tell you is that we are working diligently mm-hmm. to make sure that this does not happen ever again. And again, I am very, very sorry that you had that experience.
I see Ms. Cole's hands and Ms. Williams-Hall's. Go ahead, Ms. Cole, and then Ms. Williams-Hall, I believe, has something to add to this. Mm-hmm. Vanessa, you can unmute yourself.
Vanessa, you had unmuted yourself. Now you're on mute again. This is Anna.
If not, I can let Ms. Go ahead.
What did you want? You want me to unmute?
Yeah, you had your hand up.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let me see.
Ms. I her hand
up. I can.
No, it wasn't me.
All right, Miss Williams Hall, and then I think Miss Rush had a comment.
Okay. Good afternoon again. This is Terry Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access, and I just wanted to clarify one point. This has been referenced as an outage, but there was no outage in our service that evening. That was our regularly scheduled IT maintenance window, and it happens that time every week and has been for the last 4 years. The fact that you received the response that you did is evidence of a procedural break and how rare that happens. We do that every single solitary week. We perform our update. So this was not an outage. This was regularly scheduled maintenance. We have procedures in place, and that absolutely should not have occurred. As Ms. Ridgway just mentioned, it was a process breach. It was addressed. Retraining occurred to remind others of what the procedures are. But I want to make sure that you understand this was not an outage.
All right, no worries. Ms. Rush, did you have something to say? I thought I heard you. Or was there anyone else on this topic?
Yes, this is Denise Rush. I have a question. I got a call about wheelchair users and the Metro Access. Is it my understanding that if you are a wheelchair user, how many taxis or services other than the actual Metro Access bus are available for wheelchair users to get rides. But it seems to me, if you're a wheelchair user, you can only use the bus, because I don't know how many taxis have wheelchair available service. And that means that people who use wheelchair are really penalized, because they will never get a free ride, because if you use the Metro Access bus, you're going to pay, which is fine because we've been paying all along, but you don't have the option. You're penalized. You never get a free ride. Is that correct?
Blake, you want to answer?
That's a great question and a good observation. One, there are wheelchair accessible vehicles with each of the taxi providers. Unfortunately, they don't have enough drivers that Metro Access customers would overwhelm their numbers. And just philosophically, we do want those fleets to be available for the general public who are not using Metro Access. So if you stop there, then guess what, Ms. Rush, you would be correct that the customers who require wheelchairs would not be getting free rides the way other customers have an opportunity to do so. But
well, that's unacceptable.
Time out. Let me finish, because keep in mind you're dealing with Christian Blake here, Mr. Blake.
I know. It's unacceptable.
No, you're not letting me finish, Ms. Rush. You're not letting me finish. Because again, you're dealing with Chris Blake here. I'm a businessman and I run things as a business, but I make accommodations to make sure the business is fair and equitable. I don't know if you've taken any Metro Access trip recently, but over the past 4 months, because I realize how we're taking longer than expected with getting more drivers who are wheelchair accessible drivers, just about every single customer, depending on the time they're riding, because we only send out abilities ride trips during certain times of the day as pre-scheduled, every customer on Metro Access who happens to use a wheelchair has received some credits for, if not most, a whole lot of their trips. So I don't know if you've taken any Metro Access trip in the last 3 months, but I have the records to show you that we've given, and if Heidi Case were on, I know she could testify to this because she was my test customer, if you will. I always use either AAC or former AAC member to try out these efforts. But anyone who's a member of the AAC currently, or if you're on there, if you're a Metro Access customer, you can look into your EasyPay account, look at trips you've taken, and you will see that for certain trips, if not most of them, depending on the time of day, your account has been credited for every trip you've taken.
You know, I will kindly check it out.
Yes, ma'am. Please do. But yes, but Ms. Rush brings up, I just want to make a point. She brings up a great point that if you're not making, if the only benefit, and I keep saying this to all of you on here, the only thing I'm guaranteeing, or the only thing Metro is guaranteeing through the Abilities Ride program, is that if your trip is placed on an Abilities Ride provider, your trip will be free of charge. Well, if you don't have enough because of the pandemic and other issues, because prior to the pandemic, we were placing trips on wheelchair accessible vehicles. One member of the committee, I don't know if she's on tonight, so I don't want to call out anybody. We are really dealing with the attendance situation. But one member of the AAC was being picked up daily for work in a wheelchair accessible vehicle for work here in DC, and of course, Ms. Rush and others. Since the pandemic, the number of wheelchair accessible vehicles on the road due to the lack of drivers has diminished. So as Ms. Rush says, it would not be fair to wheelchair accessible, wheelchair using customers not to have access to the one benefit of the Abilities Ride program, which is a free trip. And being the fair business person that I am, I would not want anything that's not fair. So if I can't place you on an abilities ride vehicle, I certainly could provide you with the benefit of abilities ride. And that's what we've been doing these last several months.
Great, thank you. I guess next you can give the presentation about shared rides update, because I know you were taking it month by month.
Correct. Well, week by week. Well, month by month, because we don't meet monthly. But I can tell you last week, our shared rides were at 6.97%, which is, and for the month to date, we're about 4.7%. Which is still very low. I mean, when you think about it, 4%, 5%, 7% last week, but the numbers are increasing. They're much higher than they were 2 months ago when it was down to less than 1%. It was 0.2%. This is a factor of ridership is increasing, and we're trying to make sure we want to keep that OTP up as high as possible. So there have been a few more share rides. We're trying to decide which way we're going to go, perhaps add some more vehicles on the street from Metro Access, utilize abilities rides slightly more. I don't want to put out a target as to what the goal and what the number of share rides will be on any time period. Ideally, I like to see it as low as possible, partly because we're still in a pandemic. And the other part is because ridership is still not at our peak from the prior pandemic level. So I would like to keep the shared rides as low as possible, but these all are factors of how many Metro Access drivers come to work, how many we get to put in a vehicle and put on the road and can stay on the road without getting in any incidents in situations. So again, last week, 6.97%, almost 7% of our trips, still probably one of the lowest in the nation if you check around. I do that. So we're still very, very low, but we're not as low as we were 2 months ago. We'll say it that way.
So what we could possibly infer is it can vary week by week now, but at least for, as we discussed last month, it will, this type of thing will be going on at least for the month of April. And then I want to ask, since the TSA or the it will be the mask mandate might be lifted or loosened between the TSA and the CDC about guidelines, what is that going to look like for Metro Access, or you forecast for Metro or Metro Access for the requirement of masks in the month of April when this expires?
What we're going to do is listen to the leadership of WMATA, because we don't operate in a vacuum. If the leadership of WMATA, well, first, let's say the administration, the federal government says the mask mandate is over in, what was it, 2 weeks, I think, or a month they extended it? Let's say it's
To April 18th.
Right. Then WMATA will make a decision. They will either follow that completely and say, hey, the mask mandate for metros, fixed route services are lifted as well. Or WMATA management may say, for this region, we may want to keep it for another month or two. So first thing we have to see is what is going on with fixed route service. If fixed route service says the mask mandate is lifted, almost automatically, we're going to follow suit with that. So that's one thing. But even if the mask mandate is lifted, I think the message you're going to hear from Metro Access Management is a strong encouragement of customers to consider continuing to use their mask, even if it's not an absolute requirement or mandate.
And this will be probably the same thing for the operators and drivers of the vehicles, if that comes to pass.
Correct. I think if it gets to that point, we would encourage it, but I don't know if we're going to be a one-off and mandating that our drivers have masks if the fixed route drivers are not required to.
And that as soon as y'all get word from management or recommendation, you're hopefully at the very as soon as you can communicate the recommendation to customers on the IVR so they can plan accordingly.
Is that what you would like us to do, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We will do it. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Questions? Oh, I see Doris Ray. Is there any other person anew?
I only have Doris who has her hand up and got a message from Ansel Torres. He is able to unmute himself, so that's good news.
Okay. Doris, go ahead.
Okay. The discussion, and I came in a little bit late to hear the circumstances of the incident that you had, Mr. Chair, but with regard to whatever it's called, Abilities Ride, and the free rides, you know, if you have to change your time of pickup or whatever. What I wanted to ask is how that's going to work out in Virginia, particularly where if we use, I believe the vendor is Old Dominion Taxi. So if we use a taxi company, that particular company embraces all the independents that used to be out there. And or with Uber, but particularly with the taxi cab companies. Right now, the taxi, the accessible taxis in the Northern Virginia fleets are operated by individuals who are, for the most part, considered independent operators, although I know there's some control over them because they're contractors with WMATA. So my question is, because of the way the taxi industry works in Virginia, the driver can decide when he, for the most part, when he takes the vehicle off of the road. Doesn't that make for a situation where no matter the circumstances, there's a lack of backup vehicles for Metro Access patrons riding in Northern Virginia? Would that be a true statement, and how can we prevent that from happening? And also, I do know that, you know, in Arlington and Alexandria, their taxi companies and what used to be Diamond is operating two paratransit systems, Alexandria Dot and Arlington Star. So that makes for a stretch in terms of who's using the accessible vehicles and who gets to them first. How do we deal with all of that as Metro Access?
Thank you, Doris.
Okay. Let me try to answer it this way. As I've always tried to state, that one reason, I know there's a lot of talk often, hey, why don't we just put all the trips on Uber and Abilities Ride, and it'll save everybody money. You can do, well, you can't do that because, again, there's a civil right. And as I once described Metro Access, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it's the analogy is there, is that Metro Access is your social security of transportation. We're there when everything else is not there. So I can't just turn everything over to people who are not committed to your civil rights. Therefore, you're never guaranteed an Abilities Ride trip. Even for customers who are ambulatory and don't require a wheelchair accessible vehicle, I can't guarantee every trip we try to send to an Abilities Ride provider, it will be picked up by an Abilities Ride provider. To your larger point though, Doris, do we have as many privately owned and operated wheelchair accessible vehicles on the road in this region as we would want, as ideally would be out there? No, the answer is no to that. And there's no role for Metro in trying to facilitate that, other than we give these companies business, we give these drivers business to incentivize them to be out on the road and to incentivize the companies to invest in more and more wheelchair accessible vehicles. But if a wheelchair, as was done with a lot of customers, including several members of the AAC prior to the pandemic, were booked on trips for wheelchair accessible vehicles, and for some reason, lack of availability, an incident on the way to pick the customer up, whatever the case, traffic, whatever the case may be, Metro Access in the OCC serves as that backup. We place your trip on a private company in exchange for giving you a free fare. That private company cannot fulfill the trip. Metro Access is supposed to be there as this, as the safety net for that trip. So I can't promise anyone any trip will be on a private provider and free of charge. That promise is not implied, nor am I making it, nor can I, Doris, to your point, create a solution that ensures the ample amount of vehicles required to move a whole lot of trips to the private companies. That's not a role Metro has a part to play in. Again, we're trying to encourage the business of both sedan and wheelchair accessible vehicles by saying, hey, here's a lot of business for you guys. If you commit to certain accessibility, safety, and vehicle cleanliness standards, we're happy to do business with you. But again, those trips are not guaranteed, nor does Metro have a way of guaranteeing those trips to occur. But when I see things, so the conversation is rushing ahead, when I see things are inherently unfair due to circumstances, in a lot of cases beyond the control of even the private companies, I have means at my disposal to bring about fairness and still allow the outcome, the only guaranteed outcome of the program, to exist for all customers who would have been impacted by the lack of wheelchair accessible vehicles.
So one of the reasons that I'm also asking this question is, as a general rule right now, since the beginning of the pandemic, and particularly in the last month or so, the taxi companies, and this is specific to taxis, but the taxi companies are running with less drivers. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell when they're on the street. And even to get a private paid ride in a taxi, their reservation computer has changed, and it is all a mess. And it can take for a private ride as much as an hour or more to get a ride in the evening, at least, early evening, that would have taken 10 or 15 minutes to get somebody to respond to your call, no more than a half an hour. And so that also says to me that when WMATA is using them as backup or an alternate or whatever, that we're going to have problems, and I think
Doris, I do need you to wrap this
monitored.
Up.
I think it's something to be monitored.
And Doris, and again, now the point, Doris, like this last point you just made is exactly the point as to why Metro or I scaled back on using wheelchair accessible vehicles, because we would, for the lack of, you didn't use this word, but I'm using, we would cannibalize the whole system, and therefore leave people who are trying to make general trips lacking in the availability of those wheelchair accessible vehicles. Now, what you're saying, Doris, is that at least in Virginia, your experience, and you're drawing a hypothesis that perhaps the use of Metro Access in giving business to these taxis is having the same impact on the sedan side. You may have a point there, Doris, and I'm not even going to debate it at the moment. I'll look into it, and I'll talk to the management team of Old Dominion. The real thought and the belief is that by giving these drivers these business trips that they otherwise would not have, that would incentivize the sedans to be out there more for a whole lot more customers. But if the sedans are coming up on their maximum rides due to the number of trips they're doing on behalf of Metro Access or doing as an alternative to Metro Access, then maybe, just maybe, once I talked to I hadn't heard that from the management team, but if that management team kind of confirms your hypothesis, what Metro Access would do, I'll tell you this, is scale back the number of trips, at least in that corridor, and perhaps look at other parts of the service area where we're using these local companies. But the impression I've been receiving from management, not only in Virginia, but in Prince George's and Montgomery County, and especially Washington, D.C., is that they actually need these Metro Access trips, and they love them because that's what's keeping the income to their drivers actually flowing, not income from the general public. So there's probably a fine balance, and we'll meet it. But I'll commit to you, Doris, that I'll go and talk to management, especially particularly in Virginia tomorrow, and ask about their max availability and max capacity, and how that's impacting their ability to serve customers whose trips are not being facilitated by Metro Access.
Thank you so much. We do need to move on to our next topic. Thank you for this wonderful stealth conversation. Next agenda topic, Ms. Williams-Hall, for the Metro Access GPS procurement update. We already went through call center procedures because that question was answered by the director of the call center. Thank you.
Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. Again, this is Terry Williams-Hall. And just to be clear, that I'm just going to provide the update on our GPS systems, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so with regard to that, we continue to partner with our procurement and IT teams to obtain what we've determined to be our Garmin devices to provide our GPS services. Although they are a little bit behind schedule, we still hope to have those devices delivered and installed by late spring. So we're looking now closer to the end of June for that, but we continue to partner with them on that effort. Any questions?
Any questions from any committee members about this topic? About the GPS system?
Chair Summerford, this is I see no hands up for this topic.
Okay, thank you.
All right, then Ms. Anderson, you're up next for your discussion.
Oh. Okay, there we go. Again, this is Allison Anderson. And so again, good afternoon to everyone. We're in the process of removing a service distinction regarding the Metro Access online web booking service. Currently, when customers book trips with a reservation agent, they must follow at least 1 hour between, must allow 1 hour between the drop-off time and the scheduled pickup time on their return trip. Until now, we did not have a technical mechanism to hold customers who book trips on the web booking service to the same 1 hour minimum restriction. Beginning April 3rd, the Metro Access online web booking service will enforce the same minimum stay duration restriction as trips booked via reservation agent. When planning multiple trips utilizing the online web booking service, customers will be required to allow a minimum of 1 hour between drop-off and pickup times. We have identified 103 customers that booked trips online in the last 2 months that had a minimum duration of less than 1 hour between trips. We will contact these customers via email to inform them of the system change and provide a contact number should they have questions. So at this time, I'm happy to take any questions that the committee may have.
Any questions from committee members about this?
I see Ms. Ray.
And Chair Samuelford, this is Anu, just to remind all the members and the members of the public that we do have the timer on for 3 minutes, and I would try to find a spot where I can alert the speaker approximately 30 seconds before the 3 minutes end. So Doris, go ahead.
Thank you.
I was just curious, since you're going to enforce the policy and it's going to apply to all, whether those trips, if the customer makes any exception when that policy goes into effect, were those trips, if somebody asks for a half an hour or whatever after they've been dropped off to be picked up, would that be considered a denial for of trip for purposes of, you know, ADA paratransit indicators?
I'm not sure. Mr. Blake, did you want to take that since it's an ADA question?
I didn't put it so very beautifully. I'm sorry, but do you understand what I'm saying, what I'm asking, Mr. Blake?
I think, let me try to answer it and you tell me if I've answered your question. It sounds like you're saying, it sounds like you're asking, we're now enforcing a policy, but for some customers, will we grant exceptions to the policy based on particular circumstances?
No, no. I'm asking. Okay. I'm asking for statistical purposes. If the individual says you're denying me a trip that I've had before, this I consider a denial of services. Will that be counted as?
No, no, the denial, because we're not denying the trip. We're talking about negotiating the proper trip time. So that would not be a denial of trip. If a customer refuses the trip time, that's the customer's decision to refuse the trip, not Metro denying them the ability to take the trip.
Okay, that's what I was asking. I was just trying to clarify.
Thank you so much. Any other speakers to this topic here? And Ms. Anderson was very clear that as of April 3rd, this enforcement will take place with online booking, and those affected customers who use online booking will be informed by email or reached out to and given a person if they have further questions about this topic, and, you know, any other details they need to know what the enforcement's gonna look like. Does that sound correct? Correct? Yes.
Correct.
All right, no, okay. No other questions on that. All right, we're going to move to public comments. And with that, I was going to give Mr. Torres his 10 minutes, unless Anu, who do you have? You have any other person for public comments? No, I'm sorry.
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. We have received no other notifications for members of the public trying to make any comments. Ansel Torres is on the line, and he did state that he was able to unmute, which is wonderful. So Mr. Torres, whenever you're ready, I would start the timer for 10 minutes when you start begin to talk.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Very good. All right, thanks Mr. Chairman for granting me my 10 minutes to discuss what I'm calling the Vision Zero plan for free fares for metro access. Currently, there's a lot of debate, discussion, going back and forth about fares at WMATA. Unfortunately, the big boys are not really talking about any lower fares for us disabled folks. We have lobbied for fares, but I got from a direct source from the board that it was not presented on a menu of options. Free fares or lower fares or flat fares for disabled people, for Metro Access users, was not put on the menu of options for fiscal year 2023. We have been asking for this collectively for quite some time, and they've just ignored us. You see? So it tells you that they can care less. While everybody was getting their lower fares during the COVID crisis, we still had to pay full fare for whatever trips we take. So anyway, in the hope that one day they will listen to us, it ain't going to be this year, and it ain't going to be for the fiscal year 2023 budget. I've been assured of that. I am putting forward a plan that hopefully will be considered by the board, by the subsidizers of Metro, and by the disabled community, including the AAC. I am putting forward a free fare plan. And the reason why I'm putting forward this plan, we have all kinds of reasons why disabled people should be paying free fares. For one, WMATA saw it fit to increase our fares in 2011, in that year, 2010, 2011, increase our fares by 180%. There is no entity anywhere that I know of that has increased anybody's fares or bill by 180%. If any politician did that, they would be fired in the next election. WMATA continues to do it. And I've been asking the question, why did WMATA see it as necessary to do that? And I've been doing some research, and I came across a report that was conducted by the George Mason University back in June of 2014, where I found out why. And I suspected it all along, and I've been saying it, but in that report, in the CRA, a report from George Mason, it spelled out exactly why they were doing it. Basically, an increase in fares was used as a mitigator, essentially to punish disabled people to drive down demand, because the concern in the report and the concern at Metro at that time was that they were looking at a situation where they were going to have over 3 million trips and Metro Access operating budget was going to be over 2 million. Okay? That's why it was done. So the incentive was there to drive demand down. Because if there's less demand, supposedly their costs are going to go down. So, and notice when the big rollout was done in September of last year, there was no rush by anybody. There was no one at WMATA to go out and invite people back to ride Metro Access. The president, the CEO, the general manager of WMATA, Mr. Wiedefeld, he was there welcoming people back to ride. Where was our great welcome? It wasn't there. So Yeah, so that's among the reasons, that's one of the big reasons why. The other reason is that disabled people who are on fixed incomes are paying something like 2%, $13, 2% of their fixed income for a round trip ride on Metro. How in God's name can any entity charge a disabled person who has difficulty getting employment in the first place 2% of their income? I did a calculation. If Mr. Winterfeld had to pay 2% of his salary to ride every day to go to work, it would cost him $870. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. So how does Metro save any money by doing this? Well, right now, WMATA has, through the Abilities Ride program, a formula that they have devised to drive down cost. So we're using Uber and taxi. And I dare say they can also use stretch limo service. And it will still be cheaper. It will still be cheaper than using the so-called safety net. And let me say a word about the safety net. On a clear sunny day, back in April of last year, when I had to go get my COVID shot, okay? Metro Access was supposed to pick me up. And I have many stories like this. They abandoned me. They did not come to pick me up. Okay? So don't tell me about a safety net, because if I didn't get my shot, my safety would be jeopardized. Okay? So I am actually, just like how when you go to the hospital and you want to check out before, you know, the doctor says it's okay, they give you a document to sign to say, I am signing a waiver here to the hospital for responsibility so that if I walk out of this hospital and I get sick, the hospital is not to blame. Well, I am willing for WMATA to prepare a document of that type to sign me off of this safety net and let me use the alternatives. I would gladly sign that document because the safety net is a joke. It's an absolute joke. To use this system that we have right now, the using the vans and the taxis and the Uber, the average cost is what I'm hearing is something like $20. The average cost to use the sedans and the vans, the contracted service, is $120. And that's not even what it says in the budget. The budget says it's over $140 per trip, okay? A stretch limousine costs somewhere between $75 and $100 an hour. I would get much better service from a stretch limo. Actually, even if I had an option, I wouldn't go for it, but stretch limos make you sick. But because of the motion issue. But the point that I'm trying to make simply is that the regular commercial options that we have available to us do a much better job. They provide much better service. Just about all the disabled people I know who use the alternative services are very pleased with it.
30 seconds.
So, Because of that alternative, I say Metro Access needs to go that way because the Abilities Ride program proves that it's saving so much money. It is like a cash cow standing on top of a gold mine of savings. I hereby submit my budget plan proposal for your approval and acceptance, because nobody asked me or any disabled person I know for the $4 flat fare plan that AAC has approved and is in support of. Thank you very much for the time. Have a good day.
Thank you for the presentation, Mr. Torres. Committee members, any comments?
Well, can I just have some clarification first? Because just so we clarify on some point. Because largely, get no disagreement from me, from Mr. Torres, on the advocacy of what he's asking for. That's great advocacy. If you say you don't want four, you want free. Sounds great. And I do agree that, you know, I'll pat myself on the back. Yes, I've created a plan, but it's based on years of lessons and lessons learned, both here at WMATA and at other transit agencies, in which we've created a program that, yes, can save the taxpayers of this region money while providing customers who, under the federal civil rights laws, have a right to accessible, safe transportation and do so in an alternative fashion if they choose. So I appreciate that, and that's what this work has been about. The notion that, hey, I'm willing to just sign off and you just send me off, well, you don't have to sign off for that. You can go to fixed rail service. That's what bus and rail is for. I mean, I think the idea is folks want to use Uber and taxis and limousines. Yeah, even a stretch limousine to some extent could be less costly than the average Metro Access trip. But yeah, you don't need to sign off. Just go to those other things. But of course, you want to use these alternative services and be subsidized while doing so. That's where the rub meets the road, if you will. So I say continue to advocate the idea that the safety net is not working. Is it perfect? No, and you know, I've been striving to make it perfect. And you heard Ms. Ridgway earlier point out a flaw that was identified by the chairman of the committee, and we're gonna address that. Thank you, look at the OTP, you look at safety, you look at a lot of metrics, we're moving in the right direction. The idea that I'm gonna hear about a trip years ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, as opposed to the ability to pick up the phone and call me, come to this meeting and talk about it, you know, I'll take it as anecdotal evidence that, hey, we're not perfect yet, and I recognize that. And I'm sorry, you had that trip. I don't know what the trip will. We abandon any customer because that's not what we want to do. But I don't think that helps this argument. Let me put it that way. What I am getting at, though, is that, yes, this is a safety net. It's required by federal law. And I, even if we can save money on the margins, which we are doing, which is why we can give those trips away, and that's why we can even subsidize customers in wheelchair accessible vehicles, even if we don't put them in a taxi cab, just out of matter of fairness. We're saving money, we're doing the right thing on those ends, but my number one job, because Uber, as they did, I could just point out, you want to go way back about being abandoned, there was a day not too long ago, much more recent than the COVID test or COVID shot. The Uber drivers were upset about something. I don't know if it was fuel or fare. They were upset about something. I'd already sent out hundreds of trips to Uber for that day. They just stopped working. Now, you tell me anybody who claims they're going to sign off their safety net and they don't care and just send me to wherever, and an Uber just says, we're not working today, and you're stuck in the middle of Washington, D.C., without a ride home, because Metro Access is not your safety net anymore. It doesn't work that way. Even if you're willing to say that and to do that and to say, I don't want you, just pay for my Uber, by law, I cannot accept that gesture, if you will. So we have to keep our budget funded, not only for an individual who is independent and can probably get home even if Uber or Metro Access abandon him or her, I cannot base my budget on the independence of one customer. We have to have a budget and a safety net for all customers with disabilities in this region. Again, I'm not even arguing about whether Metro Access should be fair or not fair. My point is, we're going to protect Metro Access, the service, the drivers, the companies, the vehicles. because that's what the federal law says we must do.
Mr. Blake, what that reminds me of is we're the government and we're here to save you. And we know the truthfulness of that statement, okay?
I'm not here to save anybody. I'm here to make sure that when somebody needs a trip and they're eligible for Metro Access, there's a vehicle and a driver there. Yeah,
because 9 times out of 10, they're not helping you and they ain't saving you either.
Okay, well, okay, I love my drivers.
Hospitals can waive get a waiver from a patient. I don't think Metro Access would have difficulty getting that option.
Well, I think the
I will talk to the FDA. I'll ask the FDA about that.
Go ahead and ask them, and let's see. And if you're allowed to waive all your civil rights in exchange for being placed on,
I have never heard Metro Access being concerned about my civil rights on anything. When I am riding a vehicle and I'm getting choked, and my back is sore because of riding a Metro Access van, I don't ever remember or they didn't provide my information in an accessible format. Even the website right now is still not accessible as it needs to be. I don't remember them being concerned about my civil rights. It's only when it benefits them that they're concerned about my civil rights, not when my interest is at stake.
And okay, Mr. Torres, I got you.
All right, and every time we have other hands.
Mr. Torres, every time you bring a concern to us, we address them. As I said, are we perfect? No, but we're getting there. And I would just say, Mr. Torres, again, if I were just building a service around you, then yeah, we could probably do a whole lot of things. This is not about you.
I'm not asking you to do it around. I'm just talking about my preference.
Okay, Mr. Torres, you can do whatever you want. You have your 10 minutes.
I'm not saying it's for me alone. I am saying it's whoever chooses to go that way. I'm not asking you to design the system around me. Of course.
I got you, Mr. Torres.
I know people who don't want to use Uber. Don't make it sound like I am trying to put everybody into the same situation as I'm in. I'm an individual.
I hear you, Mr. Torres.
Okay. I see other hands.
My point is, we're not going to go in that direction. If you want to go to FTA and ask them for permission to waive your civil rights, go ahead, bring the information back to me. But again, we're going to build a budget and protect the service as the safety net, as the federal law says it should be. And then finally, I just got to point out, because Mr. Torres did reference a study that was conducted by the prior management of Metro Access. Now, the fare increase that has been referenced in 2011, of course, I was still at another transit agency at that time. The study that is being referenced was headed up by the former head of Access. But again, you're dealing with Chris Blake now. And since I've been running this, I can tell you one thing, more than any other probably agency in this region, or even in the type of paratransit service, I can point to hundreds of thousands of free fares. I can point to advocacy in which we're helping reduce our fares. Have we gotten a $4 flat fare all day long? Not yet, but it is there on the weekends. Hundreds of thousands of free trips for customers have taken alternatives. My attitude and my argument to you all and what I've actually done has never been based on increasing fare. It's actually been based on reducing the fare. So if you want to keep looking in the past, that's fine as part of your advocacy, but you're dealing with me. And so the arguments you're making do not relate to the current management, do not relate to me and how I've been making customers equitable in terms of using public transportation. So I appreciate your having.
On a positive note, Mr. Blake, I appreciate all that you are doing. And you are right, it is in the past and we should look into the future. And I have always said, you're the hardest working person in Metro or even in DC that I know. And I appreciate all of your efforts.
And I would just say one last thing. And I appreciate it, Mr. Torres, but I'm not the hardest working in Metro. I won't go that far just for the record.
Well, that's my impression anyway.
I would say this. Yes, no, I'm not the general manager, nor am I trying to be the general manager. But when things were operating, to say that the general manager and others went out to say, hey, customers, we're open again. Come on and join us. Don't forget, it was under the leadership of Chris Blake that Metro Access never closed. So we didn't have to have a big welcome because Metro Access ran our full schedule, full service area, 24/7, every day that this pandemic has been in existence, even when fixed route service was experiencing significant cutbacks. So could some people have said, come on, Metro Access, come back? Maybe they could have, but it would have been sort of, you know, just talking because we never closed. And that was our commitment to say to customers with disabilities, regardless of the service reductions on fixed route service, regardless of what else is happening in the region, if you need transportation, Metro Access is going to be there. And that's what we did. So thank you for your time. Thank you for that advocacy. Continue to push for it. But I would just say there just needed to be some clarification on some of the arguments around. Thank you.
Question. Not for you. I'm sorry. So I see Doris's hand, and then I need to ask the committee, now that Mr. Torres made his presentation, what did you want to do with it? Doris, go ahead, and then I'll ask the committee what they want to do.
I just feel the need to point out a couple of things. One, I really do appreciate your fervent advocacy to reduce the fares for people with disabilities using Metro Access, because it is an important service. But I do want to say that Metro Access and other ADA paratransit services were mandated under the Americans with Disabilities Act to level the playing field for people with disabilities, a variety of disabilities, because at the time, fixed route services were not at all accessible, or minimally accessible for some people, depending on where you live. And so people with disabilities who were unable to use fixed route were advocated for the alternative of ADA paratransit because there was no viable alternative operated by any public human service paratransit or even public paratransit like in Chicago and Boston and some other big cities that had public paratransit. And they didn't operate. They operated on limited time schedules, limited days, limited geographic coverage for trips, just like our Fast Trans here operates in because it's human service paratransit. But with regard to some of the arguments that you're using, I am concerned. And as many of you know, I use and have always used fixed route. I'm coming to the time when I'm going to need to use. In fact, I'm
30 seconds, Jonas.
But let me finish in saying that the argument that during the pandemic that fixed route service was free and therefore people who are using fixed route are getting regular service and then getting free rides. It's not equivalent. It's just not equivalent because the service was so drastically cut back. My service went from weekdays every 15 or 20 minutes to 7 days a week every 70 minutes. If I could even get information about schedules. So I think that you need to make friends of the public who are using fixed route so that they will move on with what you're proposing. And that's the end of my statement. I'm sorry. I took over.
Thank you. Phil, you're next. And I was going to suggest, Phil, what you want to do with this presentation or what, because you know it's going to come back to your committee. Go ahead, Phil. Phil, you can unmute yourself.
This is an Dr. Posner. You're still on mute. If you would remove yourself off of mute.
I'm off of mute now, I believe.
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. I'd like to address the reality of the fact that the board will approve the budget this Thursday. The other reality is everything that we do and they do requires sustainability so things stay in place. We are hoping that they will include continuation of the items that were put in during the pandemic. Two of those items, one item is a flat fare. And the flat fare that we are hoping for is it will be a sustainable flat fare. And that will be somewhere between $0 and $4. And if it's zero, that's wonderful. If they think it's sustainable. And we have pointed out to them the fare box recovery. And if you can remember back, they gave up $16 million in income when they gave back the peak of the peak to the tourists because they couldn't understand it. And our entire fare box recovery is only $5 million. So yeah, if they decide to do that, that's fine. But that's what's going to happen this week. The other thing is what Mr. Blake has done during the pandemic, and that is the 24/7. And one of the biggest problems we have had is that when the fixed route service was not 24/7, you know how many times we had our Sunday people come in who could not go to church because the buses didn't run on Sunday. The people that couldn't get home because the buses didn't run after 5 o'clock in the evening. And so again, for the reality of this Thursday, we're hoping that Mr. Blake's policy, along with the other ones that were put in during the pandemic, will be continued. Because the orange, silver, blue, yellow line is going to be shut down for an awful long period of time. And we'd like to think that Metro Access will keep running during those periods. And so I think what we have to hope for on Thursday, and we'll see what happens, that they realize that flat fare is sustainable, that providing service even when fixed rail isn't running is sustainable. And that's what we get, and that's what we will continue to advocate for. As to Mr. Semfalt's question, as with any committee, in order for anybody to do anything, someone needs to make a motion, a member of the committee. If there's no motion made, then problem, it goes away. You can then, in your report to the AAC in our first meeting of next month, which is April, you can report it. And then again, if someone on the AAC chooses to make a motion, we can proceed with the motion. But for this Thursday, we presented everybody on the board multiple times what the cost of Metro Access is. And it's up to them to realize what's going on and continue to give us a flat fare that's sustainable, somewhere between $0 and $4. We'd like to be closer to zero. And Mr. Blake convinced them to let him continue the 24/7 service. And so I run over. I give up the microphone.
All right. So what I'm hearing, okay, from committee members are Mr. Torres's proposal. Are we moving it forward towards the AAC for consideration? I need to hear from people.
I would like to, yes, I would like to move that we present it as a committee member.
Is there a second that we present this proposal at the next AAC meeting?
Ms. Rush, I second.
Thank you. All those in
favor. Ms. Rush. Yep.
Okay, hello, Patrick. So I guess I'll call the question. All those in favor of moving Mr. Torres' proposal to be discussed at the AAC level, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions, the motion carries. Mr. Torres, your proposal is moved up to the AAC for consideration for next month.
It.
You're welcome. So are any other questions, any other Metro Access concerns for committee members? Mr. Blake, I do have the question, or even management here. Y'all, I guess, have done pretty good job so far with the demonstrations and truck drivers. Is there any indication when that has gone away, or has it gone away yet? Because I know that could have, well, you already explained very explicitly to customers via the IVR and when you log into the EasyPay account about there could be, you know, traffic issues, detours, and delays. Do you have a sense when this is going to begin to dissipate?
No, what I would say is, one, you're right, it has had minimal, but we won't say it has not had any of.
I've seen it last week happen. It faced the, you know.
And if any one incident had the most impact on those shared ride numbers we discussed earlier, was probably the traffic jams on the highways. What we're seeing is that the expression of First Amendment efforts by these folks is losing some momentum, but do we know when each and every last one of them are going to decide to pack up and head back home, that they made their voices heard? We don't want to speculate on that because we don't know what their agenda really is, but it does seem to be losing some momentum, and therefore the impact on our service is beginning to decrease.
Thank you. Any other questions for committee members? Can we adjourn, or is there a brazen or burning issue that needs to be discussed at this time?
Chair, I'm didn't Ms. Rush just raised her hand up?
Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
This is Ms. Rush. I have a question. Now that soon we're already at National Airport and we're going to Dulles. So we're going to have more people probably making trips to Dulles with Metro Access. Are we prepared for that? Because every day you have a certain amount of routes that are shut down. And I don't understand. I'm confused. We have routes shut down for whatever reason. And then we're using the taxi service to take requests. Is that because you're looking at your schedule and you figure, well, we don't need that route to run today, but we'll use the accessibility, you know, the accessible ride? I don't understand why every day.
Right. So
their route shut.
You're making a great point, as usual, Ms. Rush. And now I just want to say, and I'm glad you asked this question, because these meetings are ending too fast. I'm trying to make a new work overtime, and y'all be getting out of these meetings too quick. But no, Ms. Rush, back in the day when we say Chris Blake first arrived in this role, you did hear me and hear the team, and I know you heard from your sources, your great sources, that we were closing routes. That is when I was, as I was telling you all in a very transparent way, moving us towards being the fixed route equivalent shared ride service that paratransit should be. So those were routes closed by design, and we went through some struggles, and I've always said I appreciate the customer's patience, although it was running out pretty quickly, and we made some changes there. I can assure you right now, any route that is closed since, I'll just go back to January 2021. The only reason a route is down or closed is because of a lack of a driver for that vehicle. Metro Access Management, because of the reduction in ridership, Metro Access Management has not mandated any route closures. In fact, we want to put more routes out on the street. The companies, they're recruiting very well. They're trying. I mean, we heard about two great drivers tonight. I was really impressed. I wish we could clone those folks. But they are trying to hire more and more drivers. But until they can hire more and more drivers, we can't put more and more vehicles on the street. But at this moment, I want to put more routes on the street, not fewer. So if your sources tell you about 10 routes closed a day or 20 tomorrow, whatever that may be, please know, everybody can know, the only reason that is the case is because the driver who was scheduled for that route did not come in today, and they don't have enough drivers on their rosters to back that person up one-on-one as we did prior to the pandemic. Now, to
and my next question is who is training the drivers to handle the customers, you know, to be prepared like what Ms. Bellamy did? Who trains the drivers now?
Oh, are you talking about driver training in general or the Ms. Bellamy role specifically?
Well, they're the same.
Well, okay, and that's fair. From your perspective, I accept that. Each company has their own trainers. Now, what we can do is go to the companies and they can discuss their training, not to make this meeting longer than necessary, but to hear directly, because I can tell you right now, I don't believe anybody has hired a Ms. Bellamy specific type of person, but they each have a training. But before we get to the companies, I just want to tell you, you ask a very great question. Are we ready for the expansion of the Silver Line to the phase two? It's been delayed a little, so that's giving us a little more time to give our companies more time to hire more drivers. The answer is, if Silver Line phase two open tomorrow, yes, we will be ready. We will strategize around those airport trips in particular. Metro Access customers need to be aware of one thing. You have a right to go to Dulles Airport, just like you have a right to go to Ronald Reagan. And is there another airport? No, BWI. You can't use Metro Access to go to BWI. But keep in mind, when you use Metro Access for an airport trip, it's just like using Metro Access for any other trip. You should, in your mind, even if we take you there directly once, or twice, or three times. Every time you book a trip to that airport, you need to keep in mind that it's a fixed route equivalent time trip, not a trip that you should expect that Metro Access van is gonna pick you up and beeline to the airport so that you don't miss your plane. So we're gonna have to educate all our customers once again about that, because a trip from, let me just pick on an area, a trip from Clinton to Dulles, it's a very long trip, as you know. So we're going to educate our customers on that. But without me taking up more time, I'm going to just pick on somebody. Let's start with Robbie, because Robbie obviously is training some drivers based on that great presentation of the one driver we had this evening. Robbie, can you begin and give, I mean, very briefly, because I want to get to everybody, but very briefly, tell us about your training, and specifically to Ms. Rush's question, Do you have on your side a you know, the late great Ms. Bellamy, a Ms. Bellamy type of advisor or
sensitivity training
is the sensitivity word. Trainer, yes. Can you tell us that?
Well, we have of course Ms. Bellamy for many years would come to our facility and give do very specific aspects of training. Those we have trainers that have been with us for years and years and sat through each and every one of those trainings that Ms. Bellamy did. So we have, for example, let me just use Diamond, Virginia. We have a very capable person that goes over the same sensitivity issues that Ms. Bellamy did for us. And we can't replace Ms. Bellamy. We did look at alternatives, but nobody was better than the people that we had to give her story and carry it on. So nobody specific like Ms. Bellamy, but we go over the exact same material with the exact same passion that Ms. Bellamy has left her legacy for us to carry forward.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to Transdev.
Good afternoon, everybody. Same as Robbie, we have individuals that was there from the beginning. They're very capable.
Thank you. First Transit.
Good evening. So once Ms. Bellamy left, we kind of switched it up at our location. We have a company called Easter Seals. They come in and do hands-on workshop. That's one thing I took from Ms. Bellamy. She was very hands-on with us. So Easter Seals is doing the same thing, generating workshops to go over that sensitivity as needed for the drivers.
Excellent. Thank you. And Challenger.
Federico on here.
Okay, is Challenger on there?
I see Mr. Federico on there. Is he not from Challenger, I believe?
I don't think he's from Challenger. Miss Williams Hall and I will follow with Challenger. But Miss Rush, I think you asked a very good question. I think you got three very good answers. I mean, I'm just speaking from my perspective. But tell me what you think, what you heard, and we can go from
there. I heard Robbie. I took Robbie's as a no. I took the person who has Easter Seals in, maybe, I don't know them. But see, until you walk into somebody's shoes, you don't know how they fit. And Ms. Bellamy was good at what she did because she was in a wheelchair. She had a disability. She knows how it feels. And that's the problem. If a person is giving some training and they haven't walked in their shoes, they don't know about the wheelchair getting stuck. They don't know about using the cane, how to approach a person. There are a lot of things that that disabled people know about because they experience it. And if Chris Blake has a sensitivity to our disability, but Chris Blake has not been blindfolded and tried to get an Uber out on the street blindfolded. That's the only thing I can say. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you loud and clear, and I will follow up. I think you're making a good point, and without committing anything at this moment, let me follow up when I talk with all the providers again, and let's see what role Metro Access Management can play in facilitating, if not a full-time equivalent type of Ms. Bellamy, some role in which that type of personalized experience can be incorporated in their each of their training apparatus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The key words are sensitivity training.
Sensitivity training. And I think she was only at the end doing it 2 days a week, not full time, but okay. And thank you.
I might add that even when she came, it really wasn't the same amount of time that she was doing when she first started out. She had to reduce the amount of time she spent with us. So anyway, I hear you loud and clear.
Thank you so much.
You want me to send you my resume? I'm finished.
Hey, so any other things to discuss that relates to Metro Access before we adjourn? Y'all get a motion to adjourn? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to adjourn? All right, so moved, I guess. We are adjourning.
Thank you.